It was all a pipe dream, watching bodyboarding up on TV. Deep at reef, watching tension repeats, eating bakery feeds at 18, living the dream with no sunscreen. Yeah, we were so keen, surfing Aussie pipe, buying Riptide, eating shit pipe.
Okay, g'day and welcome to the Riptide Bodyboarding Podcast, the home of bodyboarding. Thank you for joining us on episode 74 of our verbal journaling, and I'm your host, Luke O'Connor. Well, today's guest is a digital creator. He's been on the potty once before. He's a man that I continually like to cross paths with and talk to on a regular basis. He is a true diehard Boog fanatic slash disciple. He's a man located centrally around the Gold Coast, Wollongong, South Coast kind of area. He's ventured a lot up to Sydney recently, and he's always keen to hop behind the camera or slide into a couple on the Boog himself and just make a good day of it. The last episode, I fucked up his name, so I'm going to be straightforward to the point here and say it correctly. Dak Dobinson, thank you for coming on, bro, and I hope I got that right.
Yes, nailed it, man. Yeah, that, shout out to Brenda and Chris Freight, who have given me some nicknames from the last podcast, a few variations of it, but no, you got it there, man. Thanks for having me. I'm back.
Oh, dude, man, thanks for coming on again, and thanks for producing all this fucking crazy good content that we can feast our eyes on of late. Obviously, you pumped out the goodbye film, and that was a great success, and we all got a really good almost like the name itself kind of fed into the narrative and almost dialect of the movie. And we almost thought it was you signaling goodbye, but you've come back with another rendition, and you've kept us all guessing, bro. What's in the pipework as of this coming year, 2024?
So it was definitely planned to be like that. And I'd say winter was pretty quiet filming wise. The waves were, I'm pretty sure everyone agreed with this, the waves were really bad in winter, which kind of worked well just for backing off, because I kind of had to go pretty hard at times for goodbye and make a few sacrifices and, you know, plenty of early mornings and things like that. So I was definitely, like, the plan actually was to do like either an Instagram or a YouTube series with Katesy, and like kind of had that brewing. And then I kind of just got to a point where I went on a nice little run of waves, and I kind of, the idea evolved around this next one, True Boog. So I was going to call it Goodbye 2.0, but then I've just been listening to this John Williamson song, True Blue. And it just, every time I listened to it, it just sounded like True Boog. And then the whole concept of, I suppose, anyone that's in it now, they've got these true motivations behind it. Like, there's no bullshit behind it. Like, if you're doing it, you've obviously got like a true passion. So running with that kind of theme, I think that like anyone that I feature in the movie and any of my themes or any of the songs, they're all like just True Boog. It's just like, no one's trying to show off. Like, no one's getting popular from doing this shit. It's just it's a real true passion. So I'm hoping to bring that out in the film.
Fuck, that's epic, Dobbo. It's a really good breakdown of the name and the history behind it, because you're right. No one is doing it for the fame. No one's doing it for the accolades, especially, you know, on the scale of your productions. Not saying they're not, you know, first class, and then they're very well edited and put together, but, you know, you're doing it from like that kind of local, not weekend warrior kind of vibe. You know, you're putting in time all around the clock, but you're finding pockets in between family time. You're finding pockets between your full-time job. You're finding pockets at 3 a.m. before you've got to go on before your cricket game starts at fucking 11 in the morning. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many things that you've got to factor in this day and age, especially getting into our 30s, that doesn't come as easy as just going, oh, I've got nothing else to do, I'm just going to drive down to Pipe and just have a day of it. You know what I mean? It's,
of course, there's huge, like, well, I wouldn't say huge sacrifices, but there's just a lot of planning that goes behind it. Like, you can't have that, you know, in our situations, you can't have that selfish mentality where when the waves are good, I go, you'll be broke and shit'll get hard. I think it's just like, I think the new True Boog for me, besides, like, I don't know, there might be 5 or 10 top writers worldwide that we can make a living off of, but the True Boog for me is the people that are you don't even have to be good at it. Like, you're just doing it because you love it and you're finding, like you said, those pockets of time. And I've just kind of found, as I've got older, I've just been getting a lot better at finding those pockets of time and utilizing them. And just, I know, as you get older too, like I'm the last bloke to ever talk up a supplement, but my wife got prescribed from a naturopath this magnesium powder for like fatigue. And the naturopath was just like, just get your husband to take it as well. Like, you know, you've got a young daughter who's not sleeping much. Like, you both should take this every morning, see how you go. And I absolutely swear by this stuff. Like, if I'm living a semi-clean lifestyle and not drinking too much, like, if I get a good 6 to 8 hours, I wake up in the morning between 3 to 5 a.m. just revved up to go for a surf or edit, or my creative time's definitely in the mornings. So I reckon I've been taking it for about 2 years. And I used to find it really hard to go to work after surfing or filming, but now I'm just on a tear. So this is, it's not a sponsored post, but this magnesium powder stuff is the goods.
Yeah, fuck, man. Well, I mean, I only learned probably around the same time ago, and I wish this was taught to me at a very young age. Magnesium is one of the only minerals our body doesn't produce. And if it doesn't produce it, we need to put in some way, shape or how. And man, you know what I else found out, which doesn't really affect you because you're a no coffee man, strictly no coffee stops in the morning.
No, we can get to that. I've changed my tune, but keep going.
But yeah, I'm glad to hear you're on the, you know, the caffeine hit. But dude, like supposedly every time you have a cup of coffee, it diminishes and excretes more magnesium out of your body. And so you put it in every morning, you're just topping yourself up and you're good to go. Like I know I've said this on the potty before, I think, and I try and tell everyone that I run into, even strangers on the street, just stop them and just start talking about this.
Just spruik it
hard. But yeah, like I've been throwing magnesium minerals in my bath just straight from the ones I get to populate pools with, like in regards to getting their salinity levels up. And man, if we me and my missus, and she's 33 weeks pregnant at the moment, we share a bath at night, throw two cups of this magnesium in and hot water, and the sleeps we're getting, exactly like what you just said, you know, your sleep is so increased. And it's such a beneficial thing to have in your life, because we all know when you don't sleep, you're just a bag of shit. So, and then like the muscle relaxations, you just feel like you're lighter on your feet. You're not those abnormal aches and pains. It's, man, it's, I can really attest to what you're saying. Magnesium's a go.
Yeah. I'll just say, like, I suppose, like, you know, I would have felt a bit uncomfortable talking about this on a Riptide podcast 10 or 15 years ago, but I would say our target audience is, I would say, you know, half of them might be dads or half of them are shift workers or, and I just think that like, once you can get hold of some of this stuff, it can unlock maybe 5 or 10 more years of early morning surfs before work. It's just, I've got the jar in front of me, because I'm like, if I'm going to talk about this, I need to spruik the brand. So the brand is Orthoplex and it's Mag Tour XL. It's an oral powder and it's lemon flavored. So you just chuck that in cold water and I balance that out with a coffee. So I do that in a coffee, and you know, the big crashes and highs from coffees, because you've got the magnesium powder in you, you don't get those super highs and super lows. So you can keep ticking over. So if anyone's out there, you're a dad or you're a shift worker, or you're just kind of feeling like you've got no energy, get me a sponsorship for that oral powder.
It's a couple of little backhanders after this probably be all sorted, eh?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So actually, sorry, the other thing I was going to mention too, like one thing that I actually planned on after goodbye, we kind of hope to have two kids, like my wife and I, and we've actually gone through like heaps of infertility struggles. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there, because there's probably some other blokes out there going through that as well. And just got that extra time now to try to focus on something positive. So it's been a bit of a graft, but yeah, I saw that, throw that out there, because, you know, as we're older now, you spend your whole life trying not to get a girl pregnant, and then your life comes full circle. So,
dude, isn't that
sick? If anyone's out there going through it, reach out to me. So happy to talk about it. It's a struggle, and obviously for the girls, it's tenfold. So yeah, it's nice, kind of one of life's things that'll come at you when you don't expect it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And you're so right in saying that usually we are trying to avoid getting pregnant or like, you know, within a relationship. But, and then when it does come, which comes to shove, man, it's, I think, you know, we take for granted on the odd occasion how, like how difficult it is to conceive life, you know what I mean? And it's,
of course, man. Yeah, it's like a miracle, isn't it? When you really get down to it.
Oh man, it really is. And me with my second child coming now, like we also went through kind of 2 years there, Dobbo, where we were planning on having them a little bit closer, and obviously can't plan everything. And yeah, there was a stage there where kind of Loz was looking at me, I was looking at her, and I'm just kind of thinking, this first child happened so quickly, and this one is really taking a lot of time. So I guess the biggest thing out there, you just got to treasure anything that comes your way.
Of course. Yeah. And we're so lucky because we've got our daughter now. Like, I really think now, I really feel for, you know, people trying for their first, because I say, like, you know, we've got our daughter. So I think it's actually a really different perspective already having, you know, having one. But now I can really see, like, geez, if you're trying for your first kid, that's a tough go. And it's what all the girls go through with miscarriages and stuff like that. So
it's the pressure.
Not bodyboarding related, but I feel like I've actually been trying to share it more with people, because when you share it more with people, then everyone's like, oh shit, like you just said then, look, we went for 2 years without, you know, having any success. So I think it's blokes, we can be, you know, as we're a bit older, and that's, you know, we're family planning, we're trying to do that, we're trying to grow up, try not to boog as much. But my wife's been really good, just trying to throw some focus around something like this. Movie's the perfect distraction. Not that it's the be all and end all, but I think we're like, when life throws you tough spots and little like speed humps like this, like the movies has been the perfect distraction and a really positive, rather than, you know, drinking beers too much, which so few people know that I'm quite renowned for. So
yeah, it's always good to focus your energy on something else. If something's not working out at the time, it'll all come around and it's all meant to happen at certain times. It always is, man. Dude, speaking back to True Boog and thinking of like some of the things we've spoken about over the last 6 months, and you've mentioned this a couple of times, and it is a bit of a it's a bit of a fallacy that gets thrown around within the bodyboarding community and surfing community, is that is there really any pumping days, and do they exist? Like, you know, there's scales for pumping days, and there's certain moments in the day that could definitely be pumping. But is there ever that, you know, just pumping, flawless offshore day again that you can remember in your older years compared to, say, the ones that you remember in your younger years? It just seems, because I remember there's a couple of days at the island when I was younger that I just thought to myself, this doesn't get any better. Like, it's offshore all day, huge high tide in the middle of the day, so you could surf from morning into afternoon. Swell just kept pulsing. I just can't remember a day like that as of the last 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's super interesting. I'm trying to, like, I think it's definitely a perspective thing. Like, yeah, we had a good chat the other day when we went on a little hunt for waves and shot a few. I reckon now the funny thing is, let's just say that it was pumping and offshore all day. We're all cramped. Like, if we're filming or surfing, we're cramping up after the second or the third surf. Like, so I think it's like the perfect, it's the kind of thing is, like, if you're getting dusk to dawn, you're done. Like, you're absolutely cooked, or you've got other commitments. I think it's just, I just know now that, like, the more, I suppose, kind of like knowledge you gather about all the spots, you're so super aware of, like, the little imperfections, what might happen when the tide drops too much or the wind goes like that or the swell goes like that. So it's like you're almost so aware of it not being how you want. And when the, like, something little changes, then you're like, oh, it wasn't what I wanted. So, yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think I used to always have this thing like, oh, man, when I used to film for my, like, old DVDs, fuck, we just used to score, like, nug and pipe. Like, but it's just, I'm just not sure now if I'm more critical or if, like, it's just like I blocked out the bad memories from all the skunking. So, yeah, I think it's interesting because one thing I always joke about with a few boys, like, everyone says, what's the surf like? Oh, it's a bit slow. Like, that fucking saying does my head in. Like, it's like the most generic, like, throwaway comment. Like, I would actually say that every pumping day the waves are slow because the period's bigger generally. So, like, it's definitely funny because it's just like, everyone seems to say, like, oh, the waves are slow, like, but that's on the good days. They're kind of like, and if I'm filming in the impact zone, I kind of want it to be slow. Otherwise, I'm getting pumped.
Yeah, and also there's that many waves going by on those shorter period swells, which in certain waves definitely can suit it. But on your end, going through all the clips and editing by the end must be a fucking disaster.
Yeah, you just like, well, I think like it's got really like user friendly, like when I'm just like shooting GoPro stuff and I've got it down to like a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a fine art, just like how I go through and sift through stuff. But I just reckon most of us now, we're all like too old and cooked to like, if there's wave after wave, like we're done. you kind of want those rests.
Yeah, dude, 100%. And especially not, as we were speaking before, about having those selective moments to go bodyboarding. Like you might only bodyboard once every 2 weeks, or on a good run, you might bodyboard 2 or 3 times in that week. That's perfect because by the second or third surf, you build up this residual fitness, your calves and your quads and your hammies are more used to you kicking for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours at a time. Like it's all good. But what other movement in your daily routine do you lay down prone, arch your back up and tense your lower half to consistently keep yourself above water or to kick into waves or whatever? Like it's a,
yeah.
So people forget that bodyboarding is super acrobatic at times. And if you go to do moves that you're trying to propel yourself out of the lip out, there's not many surfers that do that. The generations that are coming up, for sure, airs are more of a thing, but bodyboarding airs have always been there. And if you wanted to be at the top or wanted to, you know, increase your level of success or increase your skill set, you had to go to the air and do all these different moves. Like nowhere else in life does your body ever do that. With surfing, you've got skateboarding that's similar. You've got snowboarding that's similar. You've got, you know, all those different sort of activities that kind of set yourself up for that. Bodyboarding is very unique. And if you do it sporadically, you'd fucking want to be taking your magnesium powder, eh?
Yeah. You want to, I'm just like, yeah, I'm like even just filming now, like if I know I'm going to try to film for more than 2 hours, I'm going like magnesium powder, coffee, 600 mils of water, banana, going to make sure, give myself every chance of not cramping up. Cause like, I think you experienced this one day when we're out suck. Like I hate coming, like swimming in with a GoPro, the freedom out in the water is just amazing. Cause I'm not like weighed down. I'm super free. Just like I'm swimming in the waves, like hooting with mates, but I got the camera there. The worst part's getting in because I don't have any buoyancy to go up the rock ledges. So I just know like one thing, start cramping up. If I'm going to go in, that's my biggest fear of just like when I'm swimming out there, like some of the spots, like if you've got a board, you're just going to ride up dry on the rocks, but there's some spots out there that like scare the shit out of me just beaching myself. And I'm a bit of a slow moving, I used to be called at my cricket club the mollusk by one of our old captains, just like a sea creature that's like stuck to a rock, slow moving mollusk. So I'm like, call me that.
What a quality captain.
Shout out to Glenn Proughton. He's a rare unit. But yeah, called the mollusk, just like just a slow moving ocean dwelling beast. But if I like try to stand up, you know, the guys that are really light on their feet and they just like, Casey's one of them. He just goes in and just bang, couple of steps, he's up on the shelf. I'll be fumbling around and Ackerman calls me the baby giraffe sometimes when I'm got my fins on and falling over my legs in there. So, yeah.
Yeah, but some spots are difficult to pop up and do, man. And you're right. When we're coming at Suck Rock the other day, like when you've got all that current ripping out of that small little channel to get in, and I can just go to one side, get pushed in by a wave on a bodyboard and kind of float over the barnacle encrusted kind of tops of the rocks with kanji mixed in. You can easily just kind of, the wave abates, you float down onto the rock, you dry dock yourself, you're straight up and you run up the rocks. Where when you're coming in solo like that, you're almost naked. It's like going, you know, front ways down a slide with no clothes on. Like you don't know what's going
to happen. I had to yell out to you. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, and I didn't realize.
I've gone out there once before. I've gone into a different spot. It was heaps smaller, different swell direction. And you were chilling in there just kind of like, and I'm like, hey. Like shouting out from the front as this rip was just absolutely churning and I was like double cramping in one of my legs.
I had no idea.
And I was like, I'm actually in a bit of trouble. Come out.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh fuck, shit, sweet, no dramas. And I remember jumping in. It was all G, but yeah. Oh, dude, going back to that point about how many clips you would be filming, you know, on those short period swells. That recent session we had at Suck Rock only like a week or so ago, that was one of those swells where like there would have been one in like 20 waves legit, and it was just you had to almost go. And Suck Rock's one of those waves generally where you go on the 50-50 ones because they could turn out good. Most of the times they turn out bad, but you don't want to miss that one bowl. And I think, you know, leading to the next point, the missing and the unfortunate moments that aren't captured on film. And I think one of them might have been the other day when James Cates took to the air, beautiful invert of an incoming bowl, and you were nowhere to be seen. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, fuck, this shit does my head in. I'm sure anyone that films out here, everyone had a story. They've probably got thousands of, like, and it's just, I don't know what it is, if it's like a recency bias where you're like, it's always the best wave you the miss. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, when you hyper-focus on something, it's like, it's always the good ones I miss. But like for this session, I remember I don't really like filming land, but there's some spots, like Suck Rock's one of them. I've tried to shoot water a few times and I've just been like kind of a bit out of position. So it was this lovely afternoon. The sun was like there, it glassed off. I had Casey's land camera that he always lends to me when I'm shooting, which I'm always grateful for. And I just kind of said to myself, all right, I've driven up to Cronulla. I need to fucking pay attention. Like, I'm a bit like these days when I'm filming land, I'm just fucking a bit airy-fairy, like, you know, looking around what's going on. And I kind of had my head down and the first probably 45 minutes wasn't so good. Then I kind of changed angles and I had this nice angle with like the rock in the foreground. And then I saw another dude jumping off the rocks and I was kind of looking into the sun. I'm like, oh, I wonder who that is. And then I looked in and Cates is in right inside, like with his hand up. And I was like, fuck, what's he doing? And then like Casey knows me as a filmer. I'm the hype guy. Like if someone does something good, I'm fucking carrying on. I'm throwing my hand up and hooting, hollering, just getting right into it. I get super psyched. And then like the only thing I'm like, fuck, like what did he just do? Because I've just been staring in the complete wrong direction. Like sometimes when you miss a wave, you watch it unfold. And you know what you've missed, but it was even a worse feeling knowing I'm like, fuck, like what did he just do that was warranting him kind of chucking his hand up looking for recognition? And yeah, sure enough, it was a fucking sick invert and the best wave of the session. But yeah, I've had some shockers over the years, some absolute stinkers.
Oh man,
but I suppose as a writer too, like I'm sure you'd have some, yeah, everyone had a story, writers, filmers, where you like, you just, you know, it's just the perfect, like, or your SD cards run out or, you know, run out of battery or you fuck the setting or, yeah, this. I've had some devastating misses, that's for sure.
Dude, listening to the Grim Reapers podcast the other day, shout out to Whitey and Buddha, two absolute legends over in West Oz. They interviewed Nate Florence and Zord, his filmer, and Nate Florence just went on to talk about how many lost GoPros that have floated to the bottom of the ocean.
Unbelievable
footage on it. Yeah, you know, so I think we all, we've all been in that diabolical situation. And I guess, like, you know, different if you're at, say, as you were talking before, about a long period wave where sets are coming every 10 minutes and, you know, you kind of have a break and take your eye off the wave, so to speak. But
yeah,
when it's those short period swells, especially at Suck Rock, like as I was saying, you're filming so many waves, so many with throwaways, and then that one golden moment comes in, like the 1 in 20. And I watched it from behind. Like Casey definitely full body launch out of the water. I had the I had the golden sun like silhouetting his like stylish invert back at me, and I'm like, fuck, that was legit. And then you know, it's just always the way. It's always the way.
Yeah. It was funny, like in the car on the way back, because we did the old school pickup, like we're on our red peas. I picked Casey up at Helensburg and I picked you up at Miranda and hit Suck Rock like we were 17 again. And yeah, like Casey played it down like when we were like getting changed in the car before he dropped you off, and after he dropped you off, he's like, yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. I could tell. If you can see someone from the back of the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because he just knows, being a filmer himself, he just knows, like, he had a really good story for me, actually. I was like, actually, while we're driving back, I'm like, what's the best wave that you've ever, like, had footage lost or you didn't film it? And he's like, it was a wave I filmed, but the footage got stolen. So, like, when he was a Grom making Love the SC, so, like, I'm sure a few you know, there are a few people that remember this, like one of the most iconic South Coast DVDs that Katesy made with Jaden Boyce, Skewy's Boyce.
Wow, this is going back a bit.
Yeah, we're going way back. I said we're almost going back 20 years here, I reckon. 19 years, but they made this DVD, Love the SC, and it was so sick. It was like the chorus DVD ever back in the VX 2000 days. And, Katesy just reckons this is when Brendo was doing Kaima Bommy, and, like, Brendo was just going full throttle. And he said that he had the biggest wave. He filmed the biggest wave of Brendo out Kaima Bommy, like top to bottom, like 15-40, full scooped it. It was like changing bodyboarding kind of wave. Like it was like a career moment for Brendo. And a week later, he went to Mystics to surf or film, and he left his Pelican case on the rocks, and a bloke flogged it, and he lost the wave.
Fuck Brendo. Off.
Yeah, I'd never heard that story. You told me in the car, like on the way home from Suck. So I was like, oh man, like that is brutal.
Bro, I know those Pelican cases are good and they're sturdy and they're going to really keep your gear safe, but fuck me, pinching it off the rocks like that. That's, you'd rather just let him, the bloke, take the case and leave the filming gear inside.
Yeah, like outside, leave. Yeah, and like I was just like, fuck, like, and then, like Katesy said, apparently, like that way, the wave actually on footage, apparently, Grizz filmed it. Off someone's camera, and they put it in that Life DVD from, like, was it Simon Fisher? Did he make Life?
Yeah.
So apparently that's the way. But Katesy said he had this mental angle, and he said it's like still to this day one of the best things he's ever filmed, and it never got to see the light of day. Some bloke,
isn't that insane for him to say it, after all the things that he's filmed, like even the most recent like he did with Noah, like with Mash,
with
like
Noz,
all the craziest things that he's done, that is still up there as one of the greatest, far out.
It's still like right in the forefront of his mind. I've got a story like on my end, like I think this is the best wave I've ever missed, like definitely. So like back when you were shooting on mini tapes, sometimes, and like on the VX2000, sometimes you'd go through the thing where you thought you'd stop filming, but then you didn't. And then you'd hit film when you thought you'd stopped, and you'd do it in reverse. Cause it's like, you don't, like, they didn't have the nice, like, it just wasn't as clear back then. And the viewfinders weren't as good. So like, this is back when Dallas Singer was going to Aussie Pipe and doing invert air reverses. And he was just starting them, like just starting the invert air reverses. And he did. And back there in Aussie Pipe, he used to go on like the big maxing out days. And he'd kind of wait for like the medium sized ones that were still like solid four, five, like proper big bowls at Aussie Pipe. And I remember like clicking record, and I saw him going down, and you know how clean he is on that line. And he did the biggest invert air reverse. And I remember, like, I used to find it hard to track upwards filming, like, because I had a pretty shit tripod. But I just remember I filmed this one perfectly. I saw him going high. I tracked all the way up, all the way down, and he just landed like in the flats with, like, you know, an Aussie Pipe when you hear that big slap.
Yeah.
And just like he tried to hold on but didn't. But I reckon it was back then when it was probably like almost like one of the first ones ever done. And I remember Crumpet, like a photographer, people probably know who Crumpet is. He was like on the rocks, like taking stills, and he got it. And he's like, fuck, like that's the best thing I've ever seen. And like, I think Crumpet got shots running like La Boogie or Movement.
Yeah,
or
he definitely
like
did. I'm pretty sure Dallas was riding almost all whiteboard.
And like Crumpet comes over, I'm like, fuck, let's watch that back. And I pulled open my little like screen, and just as he takes off, it stops. So I've done the reverse. I thought I was filming, but I've hit stop when he just starts taking off on the wave. And like, fuck, it still hurts me, eh? And there were no other videographers that day either. So it would have been like a one-off like video of this move, and like it was fucking huge.
Oh, brother. I'm so sorry to hear that, Jacko. That's heavy. Bro. I mean,
so like it's funny.
It is what it is.
It's
it's
insignificant,
just life,
amongst all things, but just like, fuck, like it's just imprinted in my mind on how high he went, and just like the slap. And it was just like that time in bodyboarding where the riders were just really at the top of their game. They had the budget to like always be at Pipe, and if they lived in Newcastle like Dallas, and he was just trying to like do new moves. And there I was, like a little budding, you know, filmmaker trying to like, and then I got that and I'm like, oh my God, that's the best thing I've ever got, until I realized I never filmed it.
Yeah, fuck, man. I mean,
bit of heartbreak.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking, but you can't dwell on it. I know it still comes back, and you're probably doing bed karate, just thinking about what actually like occurred, or what could have happened. But fuck, at the end of the day, Dale said that move. He enjoyed it. There was a couple of photos, and you know, that'll be the out.
Yeah, it's
from that story.
It's a good story. I'm on my second go at Riptide Podcast, and I'm savoring the moment, the memory. you know what's funny, like with the, you know, we both love our cricket. They say that like in dreams, you can have a dream of like, let's say it's the hobby that you love, and you have these reoccurring dreams of not being able to do something. So like there's this cricket reoccurring dream that the Great Cricketer Podcast talk about, and I've had this heaps of times, where you're going into bat next and you can't get your pads on in time. You're fumbling around with like all your cricket gear. You can't get your thigh pad in. You can't get your pads on. I'm wondering if there's a reoccurring like bodyboarding dream that anyone has, where it's just like,
Making that barrel, or like not landing. Like
you can't get your wetsuit. You can't get your wetsuit on in time, or something like that, or like you keep losing your board. Your leash keeps coming off, or like something.
Or like maybe some of your friends have urinated in your wetsuit and you've just placed it on, and they're all laughing at you.
Yeah, some ultimate torture, just some reoccurring dream that like leaves you in a cold sweat when you wake up, like just like that you can't get to that pumping session because you've slept in, and like, you know, your mates have had the best waves at your local or something like that.
The only reason I say that about the wetsuit being urinated in is because that's what we did to Sam Strachan one time when he was a grom out at Sark Rock, and oh man, it was just one of those moments, eh? Like the grom abuse that happened in our generation, I think, was nowhere near as bad as like back in the older generations, but there were still a couple of moments. You know, I remember, how's this? This is a wild story that I still get goosebumps about, that, you know, we're so lucky nothing happened further. So me, Huddy, Ryan Hart, really good mate, Ryan Hart, Sam Strachan, who's 5 or 6 years younger than we are at the time, and Aaron Duquet, who's also Sam Strachan's age. They're in the back of my old beaten up Ford Falcon, and we're driving along the old coastal road. Well, not the old one, you can still go it now, but it's obviously you'd go the Berry Bypass, but from Gerringong all the way through to Nowra, just on the coast there. And we're going past 7 Mile Beach, and Aaron is finishing up a packet of Jats biscuits in the back.
Fuck, love Jats.
Oh, Jats, man. get any spread on there, mate, any dip, you're sorted for the trip. And I remember him, they polish them off, and they were just in the back wondering what they're going to, like, you know, just fooling around, getting up to mischief or whatever, like just trying to get through the trip before we got to wherever we were going to go, somewhere down there. And Aaron thought it'd be a good idea to fill up the Jats bag with water and tie a rubber band around the top of it, so it became like a
fucking
static object. Like, yeah, like it was so insane, man. Because what happened next, I'll never forget the sound. He as we're driving 100 k's on that road, and a truck's coming 100 k's in the opposite direction, he lobs it out the back window, and it goes straight into the front windscreen of this fucking truck, this semi-trailer. And I can remember
his face with plastic.
Oh, man. And the semi-trailer slamming on his brakes and us just speeding away. Like, I probably accelerated going, holy fuck, that sound, like, obviously was deafening. And, you know, I thought to myself, imagine if that crashed through his windows, completely smashed it, knocked him out, all this sort of shit. And I just – and that's only one occasion – went on those sort of trips when you were younger, what you got up to, and you just think to yourself, how many new misses did you have, you know what I mean, before you
like, you know, they talk about your brain generally not being developed. It's so fucking true. Like, you just think about,
so true,
this all this endless stuff where you're like, shit, that was actually fucking a terrible decision. But like, at the time, you were never — I've got like a little grum abuse story. Simon Longhurst, who was like good bodyboarder from
he
lives in South Australia these days, and like really rips on the boog, like little, like he's a real underground boog and just kind of goes about his business. He's a real humble guy. And he started surfing real good when we were younger, and we, you know, I had my P, so he started taking him to some of our early morning missions, and he lived in Kirribill. So if anyone knows Wollongong, it's like, it's not super far, but he used to like find it hard to get to the beach. So I'd say, I'm like, all right, I'll take you, but I'd always put conditions around it. Like, I'll take you, but you have to do, but you have to do this. And one of those conditions at Puckies, like people know the Break Creek mouth at Wollongong, like can get good, but kind of never does. But we'd had a session there, and there's always a Tai Chi, a free Tai Chi class there. It's been going for like ages. This is like, it still kind of happens now sometimes. Like 20, been going for like 20 years, but it's a free Tai Chi class, and like an instructor shows up and anyone can join. And it was like 15 people doing Tai Chi like at the park just behind where the waves are. And I had a KFC bucket in my car and just coming up with random ideas. And I just said to him, all right, what you've got to do is you've got to get this KFC bucket. I'll only give you a lift home if you go and drop it on one of the people meditating, doing Tai Chi, drop it on their heads. And he's like, nah. He's like, nah, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing that. Anyway, just so happens there was a big man there, like a huge bloke. Like, and I'm like, and it has to be that bloke. This guy was a big man. I'm like, and it can only be that guy, otherwise I'm not getting the lift home. And he was still in his wetsuit. And like, you know, back in the day when like, I don't know if it was a Wollongong thing, but fuck, we used to wear our wetsuits around, eh? We'd suit up before we got there. We'd like stay in them. I don't know why. It was fucking weird. But Simon was still in his wetsuit. And I've got this footage on my first movie, Outrageous Behaviour. But he snuck up like after about, we're trying to rev him up for like 45 minutes. And he just walks up in his wetsuit and drops his KFC bucket on this guy meditating's head and then just runs off. And one of like absolutely cruel, but one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
And what was the reaction?
The guy, like, this is the best thing though. The guy did not break meditation. Like, the guy calmly took the bucket off his head, put it next to him, kept like doing Tai Chi, and the bucket just sat next to him for like the next 15 minutes and he didn't even break. Like, he just kept going. He was that zen.
What a lord. That's amazing. Yeah. What great self-control. Because you could have just gone ham on old Simon, eh?
Yeah. So he got his lift. He got his lift home, but fuck yeah, we used to just do shit like that. But yeah, like some harmless, some not so harmless. But good memories, or you know, nonetheless.
Yeah, fucking oath, great memories, man. Great memories, dude. Talking about good memories and best days you've had filming for a while. What's been like the most true boog day that you've nailed recently? Whoa. Like, has there been a euphoric day where everything's just come together?
I'm gonna say no, but I've got a day in mind that like was true boog in the fact that like the waves were shit, but what I did after was probably, you know, more true boog than anything else. So I came and met you, and we just like the charts were terrible, but I'm like, I'm coming up to Sydney because I was going to see some bands at the Enmore, and I'll mention who the bands are later. People will have a chuckle who they are, and all right, we're just like, all right, we'll go. You're like, let's come out Shark Island. And then when we were swimming out there, I'm like, I've actually never been out Shark Island before. So it was actually kind of cool to swim out there. And just because, you know, you grow up seeing it all and it's actually not too far away, but it was tiny. We actually got a clip or two, which will be in the movie. And it was funny. I don't have fin savers on my left foot because it's a bit bigger and I feel like it never gets sucked off. And like, it was one part of the wave where I was used to filming on the Wollongong reefs and just like being right in there and like being able to duck under or like it's never going to mess with you. And the first wave absolutely fucking rolled this 1 foot wave had that much punch. It fucking rolled me upside down, sucked my foot off, like sucked my leg off, like leg fin gone. And then you go, don't worry, I know where it'll be. And like you paddled in and like grabbed it from like the part of the reef, you know, where all the fins go.
So yeah, that was, all the currents just pushing everything into the depths of the island.
Yeah, that was the start of the day. And then like got out, just kind of hung, talked some shit. And then I was going up, meet a few mates. I was going to the casino. So because I was going to see a band, I was going to see two bands at the Enmore, and I had just heaps of time to kill. So I'm like, I'm already in Cronulla. I was on holidays. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to turn it into a day. So I went up to the casino by myself, sat in the sports bar and just watched some cricket, went and played some like played some blackjack and stuff. And then I was going, meeting a few mates up there, but I was going to go see none other than Hawthorn Heights and Anne Boleyn at the Enmore, the two emo greats.
Two of the most core artists slash bands slash soundtracks that are embedded in a lot of bodyboarding history, man. Folklore even, really.
Yeah, like especially Anne Boleyn, I love their stuff. And like if anyone's ever like the DVDs, so like shout out to the Waldron Brothers who've just like they kind of paved the way for like discovering all the emo music that everyone kind of grew up on. So it was just like, oh fuck, it was such a sick day. So like Shark Island, Casino was a little intermission, and then Hawthorn Heights, Anne Boleyn. So I reckon that's probably my most true boot day. Not great clips, but good memories.
Yeah, and didn't you also win a little bit on the blackjack tables with Dicko?
As we know how the casino goes. When you start winning, you get a bit loosey goosey as you leave, and we gave a few donations back. We definitely walked out pretty handsome, and we upgraded from the beers to the bourbons for the rest of the night, and I find like memory these days, if you get too tucked in, I was like, I kind of really want to remember like watching these bands, and I remember a few songs, but coming full circle, I remember this one song from Hawthorn Heights because they've got the really iconic song "Ohio Is for Lovers" that was used in Tension, and everyone knows the song. But I was like, fuck, there was this song that was rattling around in my mind from that night, and I've used it in True Boog. So there's my True Boog moment. I've used a Hawthorn Heights song in my movie.
Oh, you've linked three generations there, Dobbo.
Yeah, so it was rattling around in my mind. Then I found out what the song was. I'm like, it wasn't a song that had clicked with me like when I was like younger and listening to them, but it's sick. So hopefully people like it. And if they don't, it's in there anyway. Too bad.
Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah. And dude, let's have a chat about the Gold Coast comp, bro, because you got to film it in the afternoon when the finals started to really kick in, and we all know that wave, the first inaugural comp of the Gold Coast bodyboarding.
Yeah, club. Incredible, eh?
It's pumping like waves, man. How good is that? How good's it for the fellas that put that on? Shout out to Chris Fraps, Declan. We've got Chris Frape, Declan. We've got obviously
Idris.
Yeah, we've got Brendo Newton. We've got Sean Gregory Cooper. Making it all happen. The only reason I keep calling him Sean Gregory Cooper is because I think I can change it, but every time it comes up on the fucking heat draws for those comps, it says Luke Aloysius O'Connor.
Right.
It's a nightmare. The middle name's killing me. I've really got to get that away. So as long as that stays, Sean Gregory Cooper stays. But that comp was pumping from dawn to dusk, like just and what a vibe down there, eh? Like how good was the headland? It was buzzing with kids, with family members, with spectators, with just all walks of life. It was such a good day.
Yeah, I think like I can't lay claim to helping too much because I'd been filming all morning and like morning and middle of the day, and I rocked up for the semis. But just I think it's just like it's actually for me it felt like this really nice turning point in bodyboarding. Like, all right, a lot of us are growing up, a lot of us have got families. You don't have to have a family. Like, it's just about of like we're at that age where family or no family, like you've got that. You've got the opportunity to give back. You've got the opportunity to like the skills, and you've got the connections, and you've got the networking to actually make something like that happen. And so like when I got there and I saw it, kind of like I knew their idea and I knew what they were trying to pull off. And when I got there and I saw the way, like saw the waves and I saw the people and, saw the kids and the partners and the whole community event, it was really sick. So like absolute hats off to them, because the easy thing to do is just talk about shit. It's like it's easy to say I'm gonna run a comp. It's like it's easy to say, oh, let's run a Shark Island comp. Like, you've actually got to do it like you guys have. It's easy to say we're gonna start a new comp, like like the boys have. It's easy to say I'm gonna make a movie, but you've got to actually fucking do it. So like it just was a nice like full circle moment where like all these guys who I really respect, and they're great riders, but they're better people, and they're just putting back in the sport. And I was, And I went out and filmed the final and just, fuck, it was so cool, man, to be out there. Real sick.
So sick. And you would have had some nostalgic moments out there too with, as you were saying, all the people that have been part of your life for so long in that Gold Coast community and the Wollongong, greater Wollongong food community. Like, just seeing them out there and just getting it done in pumping waves. Like, that's what I'm so stoked on. Like, you know, all the efforts were realised for that day. The sun came out. They had crazy torrential rain down there only 24 hours beforehand. There was a lot of, like, ifs, maybes and buts if the comp was going to run or, you know, what was going to happen. And then just to see it all realised at the end of the day and to have the victor, Sean Gregory Cooper, just step up and take it out in the final, like, as he should have, because he was ripping all day. He was on an absolute tear. And I think it highlighted to a lot of people how good he surfs. Like, don't give that man enough credit when it comes. Everyone knows Coop's a really good bodyboarder, but, like, when you saw him at his home break and pumping waves and the things he was doing, put him on the world tour, cunt. Put him on the world tour and see how he goes.
GoFundMe. Sean Gregory Cooper. Here we go.
Yeah, Sean Gregory Cooper. I'll fucking get a GoFundMe page going for that bloke.
We'll give him $5. We'll give him $5 if you have to.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I've actually got some footage of Coops in the movie, which is really sick. But just to watch him at the wave and watch how, because I've been loving the comp talks you've been doing and I actually didn't know, like, how, you know, he was part of, like, I kind of did, but I didn't actually probably know the depths of, like, how involved he was in, like, all those years he'd run on the tour and, like, all that experience he'd gained. So, like, when I watched him out there, it was like, fuck, he just went to town. It's like a good cricket player just building an innings. He just, like, got, like, one or two. And, like, I've got into my movie, he did, like, and it's on a Gold Coast clip. He did a sick forward air. And, like, if anyone knows the wave where they ran it at, like, to do a forward air there, you need the most impeccable timing. And it just isn't a wave where you can do that move. Like, you have to absolutely, like, everything has, you have to be a really, really talented person to do that move. And, like, he did that. And, like, I was out in the water and, like, the crowd's quite far away, but you could hear everyone, like, hooting and hollering. And there were so many sick moments in that final. Like, so Zafiro came second. He's just, like, a local dude who's, like, been in, you know, he kind of calls Wollongong home now, but he's, like, you know, he's from Argentina, like, originally, and he's got sick style. And Chris Ebbett came third, and Idris and Bunce got fourth and fifth, but everyone kind of got good waves. And it's just, like, I've been listening to Swellians heaps lately, and I love how Smivy just says shit's cosmic. So I was kind of thinking out to myself out there, like, this is a cosmic moment where these guys have put all this fucking huge effort in. Like, they've, you know, you've got to talk to council, you've got to get all these permission, you've got to do all this back end stuff. And for them to, like, get the waves they deserved was just, like, this kind of full circle moments like that. They kind of fucking deserve that. So I was backing it hard.
Yeah. It just felt like it was right and was supposed to be. And, you know, yeah, as you said, all the efforts are realised. So that's what it's really all about. And just the Grom sessions they were holding, man, and, like, how every Grom there was picking up a bodyboard, running down to the shoreline and putting the flippers on and just not even having the flippers on, just jumping into the wash and wanting to be on a board. My son went down there and he's a little bit smaller. Obviously, he's only three. So he was – it didn't have the right board for him or, like, whatever, needed a kind of smaller sled. I had this old, like, mantle wing nut that he was using, but he's still having a great time. And I remember one of the waves he got up from and he just was, like, so pumped because everyone else was pumped around him, like, yelling and screaming and having fun. He just got up and was like, yeah, and just kind of, like, held his fist. Yeah. And I was just like, holy shit, did you just do that? Like,
he just fucking pumped, yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool, really good energy, and I'm glad the boys pulled it off, man. I'm really glad. And talking about comps and talking about up and coming movies, you got a GoPro comp in the work for your up and coming True Boog premiere down at PK Servo. What's going on there, bro?
Yeah, so I kind of felt like my last movie I did it in tandem with Brendo's live podcast and the Grey Space, and it was a really nice community event. But I kind of thought, fuck, if I'm going it alone, I need a bit of extra entertainment, like, to go along with the night. You know what I mean? Like, if people come to a night, they don't want to watch a 30 to 40 minute movie from me and that's it. Like, you know, even if they like it, there needs to be something extra. So I just kind of came up with this concept where I'm like, how, me and Katie have been floating ideas around about doing like a South Coast Film Festival. And it just, we haven't nailed down the idea. It's probably kind of coming next year. So I was kind of thinking to myself, what can I do in the interim for my night that's going to bring community together? I reckon there's just heaps of guys out there that have got all this cool footage. They're super creative. They're guys that I did, like, I know some of them. Some of these guys that have submitted clips, I don't even know, but like, I can't wait to meet them. There's all these guys now that like, they just kind of need a platform to put stuff out there without too much judgment and people just fucking backing them. So I've just got a competition where I'm giving away a GoPro, the best 30 to 60 second clip that encapsulates the theme of True Boog. So I'm actually not looking for the best footage. I don't want someone like, look, hats off if you can give polished footage that's well filmed and well cut, but it's more the vibe. It's more the feel. Like, it might be the shittest waves. It might be no waves, but it's like, it's lifestyle mixed with waves. What's True Boog mean to you? And yeah, giving away GoPro on the night. So I've had 8 entries so far. They're all on my Instagram. So if anyone's listening, it's on V_lab. So I'm posting all the entries up and cheers to everyone that's put them in. And yeah, giving away a GoPro on the night, I'm gonna show the 5 best clips and the audience is gonna vote. And then on the night, someone is gonna get the GoPro. But the stipulation is you gotta be there on the night. I didn't want someone from overseas submitting a sick clip and I have to mail them a GoPro, like ship it overseas and I've never met them. The whole idea is community. Like, I want someone that can show up to the premiere and I can hand them the GoPro and everyone's getting around them and fucking, you know, rubbing their hair and, that's the whole kind of, I want that kind of spirit of camaraderie. I don't want it to go to some random, like, fair play if you're a good bodyboarder and can make good clips, but I kind of want it local based. So the stipulation is like, if you're one of the 5 clips chosen, you need to be there on the night. So
that's really cool, and that brings more kind of more involvement from crew on the night, and kind of gives a bit of a fizz around the place. You know, like, people are wondering like, which clips are going to really sit well with the crowd, and also like, you can celebrate there and then instead of like sending off some digital congratulatory message, you know, like, just bizarre.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a massive shout out. This guy's name's Garrett. He's from TS Agency. So he kind of works like for GoPro, part of a different agency, but Shane Ackerman, who I've been filming a bit, and like everyone knows Ackerman for his big wave antics, but like, I think it's going to be really cool in this movie to see a different side of Shane surfing. Like, he actually loves surfing fun Wollongong reefs. So I think that'll be cool for people to see. Like, you know, you get that image of like, oh, fuck, he just wants to go closeouts, or he's, you know, he just wants to hurt himself. I've heard all those things, but I've actually got a lot closer with Shane and he's got a lot of different sides to him. So I think the movie will actually be really sick to people see footage of Shane. And, you know, he's been working, get some GoPro stuff off Garrett. So he's like, oh, you should hit up Garrett and shoot your shot and see if he'll give you a GoPro. And yeah, he hooked me up. So it's been a free giveaway. So absolute shout out to Garrett from TS Agency. He's hooked me up. And so that's not coming out of my money. That's straight from GoPro. So when people see me tagging GoPro, I'm definitely not sponsored by GoPro. I'm definitely still just a pleb shooting bodyboarding, but this legend Garrett's has given me a free one like through his agency, so absolutely stoked on that,
dude. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and obviously Garrett's a good man. He's seen value in the True Boog scenario.
He's back in the Boog, yeah,
sick. But and talk about the venue if you can, man. Port Kembla Servo, like, that's where Katie and Noah held their premiere mash, and I heard it was an outrageous hit, and I'm sure you're looking to do the same. What's so good about that venue, and why should people come?
Yeah, well, I think just think of like an old service station with a big circular like roof, and it's just been converted into a bar and outdoor cinema. And the main street of Port is like Newtown 30 years ago. It's just like this big street with all like the eclectic shops and stuff, and it's just the coolest joint for a movie. Like, it's just like, it's an outdoor cinema with like good craft beers and sick vibes, and like it's like literally the perfect bodyboarding premiere venue. Like, I don't think you get better. The only thing is, like, if the weather goes a bit sour, you kind of got to go inside. It's a bit cramped, but yeah, just being like being out of this guy Spink, who is friends with Katesy. He runs like all the he gets sick bands there and stuff. They just do so much cool creative stuff. And like, I messaged him and said like, "Hey man, I've got this idea," and like, he didn't need to hear anymore. He's like, "What date do you want?" Just gave it to me. So it's just like so much better to work with someone who like. Who's got creative ideas and, you know, he's in that kind of zone. It's not like a leagues club where I'm trying to like chat to some old dinosaurs like, "Oh, what happens if young kids come in?" Or like, "What are you going to do if like the AV, you know, the cords don't work?" Like, you don't have to, you're dealing with people that know their shit. They run good events. So it's going to be sick. So Paul Kembler Servo, if you haven't seen it, look him up on Instagram. So PK Servo on Instagram. Let me just make sure I've got that handle right, so I don't send people to
the pornographic
somewhere
website.
Yeah. It's the servo. I did have it wrong. It's the servo.pk. The
Yeah, sweet.
servo.pk on the gram, that's the handle. And if you're anywhere near Wollongong and you're ever passing through, just drop in there. Like, they've always got live music, got good beers, good people. And it's just like exactly kind of how I envisage, like, if I'm going to do my own thing and make it work, like, I'm super stoked to have it here. So yeah, check out the servo, and it's going to have they have like rotating food trucks, and you know, someone might be spinning some vinyl or something like that and just putting on some old Boogan tunes, so in between the movies and that. So yeah, super stoked on the venue. So if you haven't got a ticket, if you go to my gram, the lab, and go to my bio, or even if you go to the servo website, it's on the 31st of May. So I think it's the 1st of May today. So 30 days, and we're on.
And counting, man. And you're gonna have will there be food trucks and all that sort of stuff set up around the joint?
Yeah. So I don't know what food truck they got, but they've always got food there. Like, real sick selection of beers, and like, I think they even do like they do good cocktails, wines. Look, it's open till later. Knowing us, we'll be going down to the commercial, the dodgy pub on the corner later to tie one on. But yeah, I just love everyone to come along and just be a part of it, because it's like, this kind of community stuff is what I reckon is true Boog. Like, you need this shit to keep ticking over, and it's definitely not about me. It's more about the night. And like I said, and you explained it really well before. Like, I'm not trying to be that dude with a polished film or documentary. I'm trying to be what I like about Boogan, and like, I'm lucky enough to know a lot of good writers, so I'm just trying to like fill that void of where I think sometimes people are scared to put shit out there these days on the net for ridicule, because it's people can be so fucking critical. I reckon I'm really lucky that no one really sometimes calls me out and go, "That's fucking shit." But anyway, I think like, as I'm a bit older now, I'll be like, I'm not too worried about that. I'm like, this, I like this stuff. I find it interesting. I've got a core group of mates that like, that will show up. So let's just fucking do it. Let's go.
And the best moments in bodyboarding, I agree with you, Dobbo, are just those premieres and of people coming together, like those epic surf trips where you score waves with your mates, you're chilling on the rocks after, you go get a feed, the car drive home's funny, you're sharing stories and spitballing, and that's what the premieres are like, and that's what bodyboarding like really is. Like, you know, it's a really individualistic sport. Spoken about this before, same as surfing, but there's essence when you're in, like, you know, a good lineup with a good crew, having a good time in any sort of situation, whether it be in the water or on land, that just it just feels like a community sport. And when you have these premieres that you're putting on and putting time and effort in to put them on, man, like as we talking about before about comps and about, you know, events and all that kind of stuff, like what you're doing is not just, "Oh yeah, we're going to turn up with a projector and on the night." You're putting hours in behind the wheel. You're putting phone calls, text, emails, a lot just to get it done. So it really is a celebration of your work, but also, as you were saying, it's a celebration of people coming together and just having a fucking good time and lubricating themselves up with some fine brandy and having a good time.
Yeah, and that, like, yeah, it's just, I think it's just going to be really, like, I know one thing that I really liked about what Brendo did when I showed my movie, it's like, it should be like, everyone should feel like, even if you don't know anyone, and you're a bodyboarder and you're thinking to yourself, you're listening to this, should I come? I'm not sure if I know anyone. I was always like really big with Brendo, and he portrayed this really well with the gray space tonight. You should be able to show up on your own, like, and someone will fucking talk to you. Like, I think I even mentioned in my last pod, like for the Cone Prem, this bloke showed up on his own and just fucking loved bodyboarding. I was like, that's sick. Like, doing that is fucking cool. Like, if you love bodyboarding, or you might want to meet someone you can fucking boog with and you didn't even know they lived 5 doors down from you. You know what I mean? Like, you should, like, I think that's where bodyboarding's at, where you can drop the ego. No one's like, you might be a great rider, you might be shit, but everyone's going to be talking, everyone's going to be getting around each other. Yeah, so like if you're umming and ahhing, it's just a community event. Get there.
Yeah, get there. And fucking 100% get there. And on that note, I reckon we should end it on just fucking get there, Dobbo. That's a, a great way to sign out. And everyone who hasn't got a True Boog ticket, just fucking get on it and get there, because it's going to be a good time. 31st of May, PK Servo. Doors open at what time, bro?
Doors 6 p.m. And I got one last thing. So you'll see this in the movie. I found these kind of like old boxes in my garage of all my old Boog and stuff. And I've got like heaps of DVDs. I got too many. And my offering is the first, or whoever gets there earliest, I'm going to put out a table of all the old DVDs. And anyone that gets there early can help themselves and for one free DVD. So like some are mine, wow. Some are like some Waldron Brothers, some are like some Barnsley stuff, like even Kate's.
Have you backed all these up?
No, but like I know that I'm not going to have a DVD player anymore, and I'm kind of willing to give them away as like a sacrifice. So like, wow. If you are a Boog collector of DVDs, when you walk in the door with your ticket, there's going to be a table, and it's going to be like an honesty system. You help yourself to one DVD and it's yours, free of charge.
An honesty system in bodyboarding. You reckon that's going to work?
If someone goes ham, they must really need it. So fuck, we'll just let it. They must be real true Boog to fucking want a pocket five. So
definitely. Now you've like announced this on a podcast. They're going to be bringing trench coats, brother. They're going to be bringing, you know, suspenders with spare pockets. They'll be fucking pilfering those things. Because honestly, that's almost gold. Like, that's really nice. You're handing them over, because that's like kind of, it's almost like the sacred documents of our sport.
A little plug to Riptide Cinema. They got most of the movies on there, so that's why it's a little easier to give a lot away. Like, not all of them. There's some definitely ones in there, but I think like I was kind of thinking maybe it's a perfect marketing strategy for the vintage Boog community to get a few skeletons out of the closet. Some blokes come in to snabble a few DVDs. They might even not watch the movie, just go home after they grab one.
Fuck it. At least they turned up.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. Paid their cash. Let's go.
Yeah. Cheers, motherfuckers.
Well, man. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Perfect.
Zach Dobinson, thank you for coming on the potty once again, mate. Bro. It's always a fucking good time. Always a good chat. And I love what you're doing, and keep on doing it.
Sick, mate. Pumped on it. So, hopefully I'll see everyone on the 31st. And I will see people in the waves. If you see me out there shooting GoPro, come say hi. And I'll send you some framies. Let's go.
Promise you won't be creepy, and it'll just be framies,
eh? Yeah, just framies, eh? Can't show the footage.
No, definitely no dick pics either, because they're the worst receiving between those framies. All right, bro. Keep well.
All right. Thank you, mate.
See you, man.
It was all a pipe dream, watching bodyboarding up on TV. Deep at reef, watching tension reap.